Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This week's show is brought to you by Miracle Made. All right, now you guys, Brad and Alex, you know I like a lot of things, but I'm going to reveal a little bit about myself here. I really like sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, it's in my top three.
It's a great thing to do.
Wait, hang on. Eating, sleeping, and?
Sleeping. Again. Okay. It's mostly sleeping, then eating, then sleeping again.
Got it, yes. Got sleep, it. Get up, eat, and then you get back to sleep.
Yeah. If I could eat while I'm sleeping, I would probably do that too.
Sleep, eat, sleep, repeat. Got it.
Yes. And luckily for me, Miracle Made has sheets just for me. Because did you know that traditional bed sheets can harbor more bacteria than a toilet seat? And I'll tell you what I don't like, sleeping on a damn toilet seat. I would rather sleep in some nice sheets.
I don't know, man. Have you tried it?
Unfortunately, yes. And it's not my style.
I won't ask you to elaborate.
Inspired by those punks at NASA, Miracle Made uses silver-infused fabrics and makes temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. It has self-cooling properties. The sheets that are infused with this silver prevent up to 99.7% of bacterial growth, leaving them to stay cleaner and fresh 3 times longer than other sheets, and no more gross odors. Only the best odors in my sheets. You can go to trymiracle.com/nextlander to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo NEXTLANDER at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to miracle.com/NEXTLANDER and use the code NEXTLANDER to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/NEXTLANDER to treat yourself. Thank you, Miracle Made, for sponsoring this episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this chock full of gaming news podcast this week. Is chock full of nuts still a coffee? I don't know. Am I dating myself? Does anybody know chock full of nuts?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Hey, do you guys not know chock full of nuts? As a coffee brand? Brad Shoemaker, help me out here. Come on.
Drinking chicory over here. Oh. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Alex Navarro.
You are on some fucking bullshit, man. I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Chock full of nuts. It's like the big can. It's like a big full. Well, okay, listen.
Is it the best part of waking up?
No, that's Folgers in your cup. Thank you, marketing.
Yes. No, they don't pay for the pot. They don't pay for advertising with us.
It's chock full of nuts.
Does that even still exist?
Well, I'm confused because why would you call your coffee chock full of nuts? It seems like a bad.
Is it hazelnut coffee?
Maybe it's just nuts, not coffee.
It's a lot of nuts.
maybe it's the chock full of nuts is just nuts because and I'm confusing it because it looked like it came in a coffee Folgers big coffee can.
I'll take some nutty tasting notes in my coffee.
No, it is coffee.
I'll take an earthy coffee bouquet. Okay.
All right, I'm very confused. The memories get tangled up in there a lot now. They don't come. They don't come out of the drawer as easily. Some stuff is misfiled. Okay.
Those neurons are twisting around each other.
There's been a lot of
a lot of crosstalk on the electrical signals.
We got to get some money for revitalization and some projects going on in the old neural pathways.
Gotta get in there and resolder some of those synapses, or excuse me, resolder them.
Oh, boy. Solder.
if the lady in the gunk is to be believed.
Listen, maybe she's English. They're doing a lot of accent stuff. And anyway, we'll get to the gunk a little bit later on. We'll get to Halo Infinite a little bit later on. We'll get to Vinny's infrastructure week inside his brain. Maybe never. We don't know. It's infrastructure week every
it's
week.
It's always folks. Infrastructure week. It is never infrastructure
week. Scaffolding continues to go up.
And come down. And just like New York City scaffolding, nothing ever seems to get done. It's just this is a lot of work being done. There's just little synapses doing pull-ups on the scaffolding in there. There's really not a lot of work going on.
They've been trying to widen that frontal lobe to four lanes for like 20 years now.
It just didn't solve the traffic problem, though. We've got some news to talk about, though. And by news, I mean there were a lot of announcements that were made in what is supposed to be an award show. It just seemed like a big info dump when I looked up what happened at the award show.
Have you not watched one of these shows in, let's say, the last decade? Because that's pretty much what they are.
Like the Oscars with a bunch of trailers for new movies?
Yes.
What you said? Because, yes. Boy, yeah, I watched that entire thing somehow.
So let's be real. It's the Golden Globes. Come on.
All 3 hours of it.
Oh, wow. I did not watch it. I have gotten... I've gotten a lot of Jeff Keighley this year. I feel like there's been a
more than I asked for.
Was there Jeff Keighley walking on the virtual stage?
It was a real stage.
They did it live in person this year.
It was an audience in an auditorium. It was a well-appointed stage with like set design, and it was the whole thing.
Wow. Well then. Let's jump just right into it, because there were actually a lot of reveals. Some stuff that is coming, stuff that we didn't know about, and stuff that will be coming in the far-flung future world
of
2023.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Trailers for new video games, the reason for the season.
Yes.
So a lot of this stuff, or some of this stuff, it's far out there, man. At least 2023. Which,
hey,
listen,
as I said to you minutes ago,
it's true.
2023 is like a year away, man.
Yeah, well, I'll say it's at least 2023 for some of these things as they're announced. But we went through, and we're not going to talk about everything here because there actually was quite a bit that was shown. But let's talk about some of our favorite things. Alex, you want to kick one off that you pulled as something you'd like to talk about?
Sure thing. This is not necessarily the top one on my list, but it's just the first one I put alphabetically. Rumbleverse. A pro wrestling battle royale game from Iron Galaxy.
A melee royale, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much like a what if a town was full of pro wrestlers and what if they were just fighting everywhere kind of thing, which actually sounds like maybe the most Dave Lang idea I've heard of in quite some time.
Grapital City? Is that
Grapital City?
Grapital City is pretty good.
How is it not Grapital Capital, though? Or like what is the capital of Grapital City?
The state Grapital is the place where it goes down.
Yeah, it's very silly.
I have no idea what the quality of that game is, but I really like the premise. I think it looks colorful and it seems like it's very customizable.
So people, well, I guess I started to ask if you had played it, but I guess that's a no since you said you don't know how it is. But people are playing it, like they took signups for a test that may still be ongoing or it may have ended by now. I'm not sure, but the day after the Game Awards, I think they were getting people in to play it.
Yes, there was an early access beta thing that they were going to do, and then they have not targeted a release date for this thing yet, I don't think. But it sounds like they will be doing some more online tests, I'm guessing, down the road.
I mean, I'll give them credit for at least putting a unique spin on this, because like, I think getting into a battle royale with a gun game at this point is...
pointless?
Possibly sheer lunacy. So... we'll see how this works out. It looks cool. It seems like you kind of like grab found objects everywhere, right? You can like pull a stop sign out of the ground and do spin attacks with it and stuff.
If the customization is good enough and there's enough variety in how you can approach each battle, then I think it could be good. We'll see.
I have completely given up trying to divine the prospects of any game like this, you know?
Totally.
Like after the Fortnite thing where it was like, boy, they sure did finally put out Fortnite. Oh, well. See you later, and then all of a sudden it was the biggest thing in the world. Like,
yeah. Do I think this is going to hit Fortnite? Probably not. But
I don't know. But you might be surprised.
Yeah, I mean they're definitely going for that aesthetic, though, right? They've got that. It's a very cartoony Saturday morning vibe to it. Fortnite-esque, I would say, in the kind of wheelhouse of Fortnite.
In that it is big and colorful. Yes,
big, colorful, cartoony. Get the kids in there. Get start grappling. Head down to pack the car. We're going to Grapital City.
Family that grapples together.
crapples together?
Sure.
That's right. That was literally the only thing that came to mind that rhymed.
Used our kerflapple.
Snapples? Snapples together? Do they still make Snapple?
Yeah, look under the cap. No, is Snapples the one under the cap? Who had the under the cap thing with the little...
What do they put under there? Like historical factoids? Bible verses? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's in Bible verses.
I don't think Snapple was a Bible verse company, but, you know, we'll see where they're at now.
Turned around, and his Snapple turned to a pillar of salt. I threw on here Thirsty Suitors. Did you guys watch this one?
I would have put this on my list had you not already done it.
What a very silly looking game. It's got a vibe of it's almost like a Suda vibe, like very absurd, like a No More Heroes style thing mixed with what is the one where the video game-ish movie comic
Scott
book?
Pilgrim.
Yes, thank you. Knew exactly what I was thinking of.
I think that is very much by design. I think they self-describe this game as being similar, like a South Asian kind of Scott Pilgrim situation.
Yes, where you are taking on your exes in some kind of fighting brawl style way. It looked like maybe minigame based. It's hard to tell from the trailer.
I was going to ask, because it seems like they might maybe have come up with a bunch of different types of gameplay for this, right? From encounter to encounter, and not just like one thing you're doing all the time.
And it's from the studio that brought you Falcon Age.
Right. Yeah. Looks kind of interesting. Like, again, out there and not your same old, same old, same old. Thirsty Suitors.
Thirsty Suitors. I happened to catch that one with the sound off just because of when and how I was watching it. But, like, I was able to sort of, like, put together through pantomime like, what the interactions between, like, the older mother character and what I assume is the protagonist, the younger lady, and... assuming there is some parental pressure going on there of some kind.
Oh, that is very much the vibe. Yeah, they are definitely like, mom would really love it if you just settled down and found a husband kind of thing.
Exactly, without any sound, the vibe that I got. That sounds like that could be fun.
Thirsty Suitors, no platform, no release. We'll see what happens.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's early. That's Annapurna. Annapurna continuing to go big, continuing to take swings.
That's right. Look for a voice cast.
Like, I'm trying to figure out how to develop this thought. Like, I almost respect Annapurna more because they are not batting 1,000 at the moment. Like, you know, they put out 12 minutes, for example. And we all thought that looked pretty cool.
And then it wasn't, but that's
on the front end. But like that kind of, I think further legitimizes what they are doing, you know, is that they're taking a bunch of risks and not all of them are paying off, but they're still just going for it.
Yeah, and there's stuff in the middle too, like, you know, that Artful Escape game, like that is a game that had great production but was also not much of a game, you know, but they sort of threw their weight behind that thing as well.
I love the vibe of that thing.
Great vibe. Yes,
joyous.
Also pretty decent voice work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brad, you want to pull one out here?
Alan Wake 2.
dude,
they're, oh my god, like
they're doing it.
I didn't recognize the voice at first, and then he said something about a story, and I instantly knew what it was, because to me, perhaps the most crucial element of Alan Wake is how up his own ass he is about the nature of being an author, which, if you write novels, I think is, like, a critical part of your identity.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, at a certain point, like, you veer so far in that direction, you basically just become Garth Marenghi.
Right, yes, or yes, like Alan Wake is, like, the Jonathan Franzen of video game characters.
Yes.
I mean, they didn't show the game, other than to reveal that apparently they've cast Jake Gyllenhaal in the role of Alan Wake this time.
Like, I could see it, I guess, I don't know.
Dude, that likeness, the eyes, I mean, am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Like, those eyes are unmistakable. They had Sam Lake there, and I was extremely excited to hear that it's a survival horror game and not an action. Like, he literally went out of his way to say, hey, this is not the type of action game that the first one was, that it is an actual survival horror game, which I think makes way more sense for the Alan Wake kind of setting.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you.
Especially for, like, how surreal it gets. Like, those DLCs on the last game, not counting American Nightmare, that was, like, a weird offshoot, but, like, the DLCs they put out for the original base game got super crazy, you know, with, like, level design bending around you and all kinds of, like, you know, things he wrote into existence happening and stuff like that. Like, a lot of good psychological horror potential there in an Alan Wake game that is more of a straight ahead horror game rather than just a shooter.
Yeah.
I mean, those are probably the, maybe, aside from collecting thermoses, maybe the action was dragged on a little bit too much.
Yeah, like it was like a neat conceit early on, the whole like flashlight having to kind of wear down the darkness monster so you could shoot him and stuff. But yeah, it got old.
Got old.
But I mean, after Control, I would show up for anything that Remedy does.
I know. But, so yeah, I'll be curious to see what they do with this. Also, I'll be curious to see actual gameplay, because I think they do. Control was technically a pretty impressive game, so I'd like to see.
It was just so goddamn creative. Like, it was just like, I have not played anything quite like Control.
Yeah.
And if they bring those creative chops to bear on a new Alan Wake that is a survival horror game, that seems very exciting.
That said, I would also like more Control in the near future, please.
Yeah. How are those DLCs? Did you play those DLCs for that?
I played the first one.
I didn't finish them.
Those did not seem to hit for people. I didn't get around
to them. Yeah, the first one wasn't bad. Like, I think that I would just like to see them take what they learned from that first game and start anew.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind a prestige TV. Is that what we call those, like, series that are done on streaming networks?
That's just what we call anything that isn't a sitcom now.
Okay. I wouldn't mind, like, a Control Boost thing. Out of all the things that get made into stuff, like a nice old...
like if they just made X-Files, but it was Control...
Yeah, maybe like a really creative take on that, on the Bureau. I just like the Bureau. I like that world. Mm-hmm. I think it's really interesting. I think
the background details are the best part of that game.
Yeah, like some of those objects could be really interesting side stories.
I didn't know we had such a strong fan of the Bureau XCOM Declassified in
our
midst.
That's true. I do. I just love the Bureau. It's like a lot of people.
Why you gotta remind me that thing exists?
A lot of people keep talking about XCOM 2, and I'm like, what about the Bureau?
Have you played XCOM Declassified?
I think that was like one of. Something about that reminds me of very early Giant Bomb. Was that one of the earlier things that came through?
That was middle of our tenure, because I reviewed that game.
Okay. Well, but also that thing was around forever.
Okay.
Like, I remember, I think it got like rebooted halfway through, or very drastically modified from what it was originally going to be.
Correct.
Maybe you did an interview with them early
changed,
on.
And also, yes, I believe we spoke to Morgan Gray again.
Okay, maybe that's what it is.
I think the running joke was just that this thing's never coming out. Like, what's going on here? Come on. And it came out.
Speaking of things coming out or not coming out, I think this will come out. I put Homeworld 3 on here just because, you know, they put the Adagio for Strings in there. They put some flying spaceships.
Yeah, they know their audience.
They did it. I like to say I'm a pretty big Homeworld fan, but I don't even know what that means anymore. Like, I liked Homeworld 1. I thought Homeworld 2 got a little too hard, and so I don't even think I ever finished Homeworld 2. And then I played Deserts of Karak, but I don't think I finished that. So maybe I'm not a Homeworld fan, but I'm excited for Homeworld 3.
Wow. Fake Homeworld fan here, folks.
Well, I'm doing some look in the mirror, Vinny. Do you really like Homeworld? I think I do. Or do you really want to like Homeworld? And I think I really do like Homeworld. I'm not sure if I love Homeworld 2, but I like I like the atmosphere they go to. When I watched that trailer for it, there are a lot of like, oh yeah, oh yeah. Let me make all those little ships that pop out of my bigger ship.
Dude, that's it. Homeworld is just those contrails. Like, that's literally all that's it right. is like just swarms of little ships, like languidly dancing around each other and leaving those space contrails, and it looks cool. And
zooming out and watching
and
them
that's all world.
Make your Corsairs go fight, and that's it. I'm looking forward to that. That is supposedly Q4 2022, but again,
I mean, that's like original
stuff.
Developers of Homeworld, right? I'm pretty sure. I want to say it's like some of the creators of the franchise are doing that, right?
Geez, I'm not sure. That's where is Relic these days? Like,
owned by Sega, doing something. Oh my god!
We didn't even Warhammer stuff,
dude. They? Holy shit! None of us put Warhammer Space Marine 2 on this list.
Oh, that's true. We did not.
Dude, what they're making? Except that's
there's
not
a lot
Relic.
Of stuff to put on this list.
That's not Relic either. That is Saber Interactive making that, I believe. But what, dude? What? Like, I thought Alan Wake 2 was my biggest dude what moment of this thing, and then they revealed they're making Space Marine 2.
Oh, Space Marine.
And what? What?
Why not?
Why not?
It's just like, it's a lot of franchises you thought were long gone are suddenly back.
Yeah, but at the same time, that's they've made games. So many goddamn Warhammer games in the last, like, 5 to 6 years that eventually they were going to have to come around to this.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's like Vermintide, I get, and like whatever. What is the name of that 40K Vermintide? Darktide? Something Tide?
Oh, the one that's like, not out yet? The upcoming one?
Other Warhammer games I expect, but a new Space Marine? Oh. Shocking.
I didn't, you know what? I didn't even watch the trailer for that. I must have glossed right over it.
You know, I bet you can imagine.
Like a better looking Space Marine? I mean, roughly, Space Marine's great.
Roughly what that is about.
Actually, I have to go back and watch that. Alex, what else did you pick out here?
For all my Trek fans out there, there is a new Star Trek game coming from a studio that is made up of ex-Telltale folks.
Okay, I wanted to know what the connection was there, because it sure does look like a Telltale game.
Yeah, so Dramatic Labs is the name of the studio, and I believe that is some ex-Telltale folks that made that studio up. And yeah, the vibe of this game is extremely Telltale style storytelling. Like, it is a lot of, like, you know, obey orders, defy orders, you know, make your choice type stuff. Which I think I am much more down for than if they tried to make another, like, Star Trek action game. Like, I don't really want that from Star Trek. I think this is more in the vein of what I'm looking for.
Star Trek has never made sense as an action game.
No.
To me, unless it's Elite Force, in which case.
And even then, it's like, okay, you pulled it off this time, but I don't.
It's like, yeah, I got my fill of shooting that phaser rifle in first person. Like, I'm good, but that was cool.
There are two kinds of Star Trek games I will accept: narrative heavy adventure, strategy. Whether it is Bridge Commander or just commanding the ships. That those are the two things Star Trek should be.
Or FMV.
Or FMV. Okay. Actually, you're right. No, you're right.
You know, I would throw point and click adventure games in there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I would say 25th anniversary and Judgment Rights probably belong in that conversation.
So, no idea how this will be, but, you know, it has a pedigree, and it is apparently out this spring. So
yeah, especially in the kind of somewhat strange directions that Star Trek has gone in recent years.
So this is Dramatic Labs, which is made up of
ex-Telltale. Yes.
And then Telltale itself is making an Expanse game?
Yeah, so...
Okay, I got a little confused there.
I had to pick some of this apart as well. But yes, I guess I forgot that there is a Telltale that exists now. After the big blow-up of Telltale, Telltale came back.
Yes.
Don't know what...
It's been reconstituted.
Conglomeration of talent they were able to pull together that was like old Telltale or not. But whatever that Telltale is, they are making an Expanse game.
Great.
Who funds Telltale?
Yes.
Telltale.
Tell me.
I should watch The Expanse, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that seems to be the prevailing opinion.
I read the first Expanse book and I really liked it, and then I watched the first season, maybe season and a half of The Expanse, but then I think it got off of the books and I got a little confused, but I've heard very good things. I enjoyed the first season.
I think they just put out the last season of it.
Oh, it's done?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's a lot of it, right?
Yeah, this is season 6 they just did, and apparently it wrapped up fairly quickly in a almost Game of Thrones-like way of like, hey, here's 6 episodes to finish up all your arcs. So,
Leviathan Wakes, is that the book? I think I got confused because of the way the book and the show were going, so I should just go back and forget the book and just watch the show.
Or probably.
I tried reading the second book, but I kind of fell off of it. I have heard amazing things about the Expanse series. Okay, so space Telltale and ex-Telltale space stuff.
They're making space stuff.
Brad, bounce back around.
I wrote down Sonic Frontiers with 11 question marks after it.
Okay.
Am I excited about a Sonic game?
Sure.
Are you?
It's like conceptually, well, A, no.
Okay, well, then we answered our question. Great.
B, conceptually, though, the idea of an open world Sonic is very fascinating to me. Like, academically, I want to see how they pull that off, even if I'm not, like, some huge Sonic fan these days.
The blurb I read had something funny, which is almost along the lines of what we talked about.
Is it the fact that they call it an open zone game?
Yes, an open zone game. I thought that was funny.
I think that was the thing that finally won me over about it, was that they insist on being so on brand that it's an open zone game.
Yes. Go to your Green Hill zone, please.
But like I have been banging the make an open world Mario drum for a while. And this seems like it might be the next best thing. Like, I don't know, you know, like, think about the types of things that Sonic does, you know? Like, if you just pepper a giant map full of stuff like that in fun, clever, surprising ways, like that could be kind of cool.
It's the trailer was interesting because it looked like Sonic was scared too. Like he like mm-hmm. he like
he's like, this is not the thing that I know how to do.
Wait, see that track? I can go there? Like he seemed a little overwhelmed maybe by the idea of it.
See that human lady? You can kiss her.
Stop it. This is the writer from the current IDW Sonic is apparently on this, which is I'm familiar with. As
oh,
as
are you familiar with the works of IDW Sonic?
Didn't know we had a Sonic connoisseur.
As it is this current series my son really likes.
Sonic connoisseur. Never mind.
I enjoy the tales of Sonic.
Okay. No, I get it. Apparently, the voice Knuckles. Actor who does Tails in all the games is also in the movie.
Oh, really? Okay.
They actually got that actor to do it.
Okay, Ben Schwartz was also at the Game Awards and was probably the most fun presenter of anything there.
He looked like the only person who actually, like, and I, to be fair, I did not watch the entire show, but I did watch this bit, and he seemed like the only person who actually knew what this show was and was the right fit for the vibe.
Yes, like, he worked the crowd quite well.
Did he just take money out of his pocket and start throwing around?
Nobody took a burned DVD out and did some pretty good goofs with it.
I like that. I thought that Sonic the movie trailer was actually kind of fun, and I on the Sonic.
I cannot believe we live in a world where we're probably going to get like 6 Sonic the Hedgehog movies.
It's got Idris Elba in it.
That's true. Idris Elba as Knuckles is like
quite fun.
Idris Elba says yes to a lot of stuff.
That's pretty awesome. Like that is like an amazing phrase to put in a movie trailer. Idris Elba as Knuckles.
It's like all right, like I'm okay with that. It's better than Idris Elba in the Dark Tower because that was like a. I mean, not that I will take
and
Idris Elba
and Shaw for that matter.
What I mean is he is like an amazing actor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, granted, lots of respected actors take. Voice
paychecks.
Roles in children's movies, like it's not unheard of.
Paychecks, yes.
I mean, let's the Orson Welles as Unicron template. But it's just I don't know, like the idea of somebody as talented and respected as Idris Elba doing a Sonic the Hedgehog movie. I don't know
if Chris Pratt's gonna go around doing Mario. Look, Idris Elba can go around and do Knuckles.
Look, Chris Pratt is no Idris Elba.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like Idris Elba needs to get paid on a franchise.
That is fair. That is fair. And again, he's probably locking up work for like another 5 sequels after this.
Yes, as long as they don't like banish Knuckles to some like, I'm sure by the end of this, and I'll have this discussion with my son because we're all gonna be very confused. I'm sure Knuckles will come around by the end of this movie and realize that working for Dr. Robotnik is not a good idea.
Is that how he got to start? Is that the pitch?
In the movie, in the trailer, he's working for Robotnik here.
Oh,
so
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know. I'd have to go back and see like where we are in the continuity here. But
you guys are talking about fucking Idris Elba being in a bunch of Sonic sequels. I'm amazed we live in a fucking world where Jim Carrey just gets to have a fucking franchise in 2021. Like, he just gets to keep going and doing this. And to be fair, he's a good Robotnik. He's not a bad choice. It's just like, damn, Jim Carrey. He's back.
He's kind of back. Like, he did a bit on the Game Awards. It was, like, taped.
Oh, really?
I think a lot of the bits on the Game Awards were taped this year.
There's a few. Yeah, like, Keanu Reeves and Carrie Moss were not there. I'm trying to think who else. Like, there were definitely some. Guillermo del Toro is another one that just recorded a thing. Like, plenty of people did not show up, although Sting showed up.
What?
He opened the show. Like, Sting performed a song from that League of Legends Netflix series as the opening of the show.
Wow.
That's the world we live in.
That's exactly what I meant about it seeming like the Oscars is like it was this very like austere, like serious, solemn Sting. You know the type of vocal where the vocalist just stands like ramrod straight in front of the microphone and never moves and it's all like just like a lot of gravity to it. It was
yes.
That.
It's like a little like SNL
except it was a song
maybe.
Except it was a song from that League of Legends Netflix series. what was I even talking? Oh yeah, Jim Carrey did a taped thing where. He basically spoke in a Scottish accent very aggressively for like 2 minutes. And it was
he's stealing
funny.
Mike Myers' shtick.
It was pretty funny. Much like Kevin MacDonald, as we have seen recently, he knows how to work a cell phone camera.
Yeah.
Good. I like that. I pulled Nightingale. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see this one? It's a...
Yes.
This weird Victorian style first person, I guess, game.
I guess, yeah. It was hard to tell, like, what was gameplay. That's Aaron Flynn's new studio, left BioWare?
Yeah, I did not know Aaron Flynn, but apparently ex-BioWare general manager.
He used to run BioWare during the period when you might say BioWare's output was not at its tippy top. But whatever, that could be a zillion different things.
Yeah,
that game looks cool. Like, yeah, trailer caught my eye for sure.
There's like base building. It looked like there's different worlds in this.
So yeah, thing. There was definitely an arc to that trailer of like, oh, this Victorian setting, like with portal hopping and mixed interdimensional stuff, seems pretty cool. And then you get these time lapse shots of like bases being built from the ground up, and it's like, oh, it's one of these.
But what is that? Is it Fallout?
It's not out of that realm. But
yeah, sure. Okay, sure. Yes. The base building in Fallout 76 is pretty that, actually. Now that you mention it, I'm trying to think what else would fall into that category.
I wasn't sure. Like, I guess
like Valheim, like the base building in Valheim is pretty similar. Like, it's definitely that. Like, it's an online co-op base building type game. But
yeah,
those are cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's got a neat vibe. It's done, but not overly done yet. It's mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of it, but not too much of it. Curious. That one also, I think, supposedly early access next year. Or no, this was it this year? I have 2021 written down, so this year's almost done. So I don't know if my information is incorrect. So don't take my word on next year, 2022. Yes. Early access. Look for them. Much like Brad just said, early access. like a game that might be in early access, let's say, with base building.
Mm-hmm.
Alex.
Yes.
What else?
Let's talk about Slitterhead.
Slitterhead.
Which sounds like a racial slur. I'm going to be honest with you. It sounds like an epithet.
Literally was going to say, that sounds like a word we should not be saying.
Yeah, but no, it is the new game from Keiichiro Toyama, the Silent Hill director.
Creator, right? Like, it's like the creator of Silent Hill, isn't he?
I believe so. And he has a new studio, Bokeh Game Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a CG trailer, so there's not necessarily like a whole lot here to pick apart other than, yo, what if people turned into fucking spiders with faces? And that seems like it would suck.
That trailer is like genuinely creepy.
Yeah, it's
like
not
the body horror in that trailer. And it's like CG. They're not the most realistic people. Like, they're very obvious CG humans. It's not that realistic. And yet it's still very disturbing to watch because the ways that their faces rip apart and turn into giant mouths and stuff is like,
it's some real good fucked up body horror, and it makes a real strong first impression, even though, again, like, it is not really determined exactly what kind of game it is, though I assume it will be very much in the survival horror vein.
Yeah.
You don't think it'll be action?
I think there will probably be some action, but, I mean, it's Toyama, so I feel like the leaning will probably be more towards survival horror.
Ugh, it's very disturbing.
It's some good... It's exactly what I would have wanted from him debuting a new thing. It's like, let's just get maximum fucked up if we can show out in 2 minutes.
Brad?
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
I'm very excited to talk about Ark Raiders. Ark Raiders was revealed right at the end. It was like right before the Matrix, like the Keanu Reeves appearance. And I feel like I did. Feels like it flew under the radar a little bit more than it should have, because it looks cool as hell.
It does look cool as hell.
So
their branding also is like, it's got, I know this appeals to you. It's got that Commodore 64.
Oh, dude. Like, it's like VHS effects and Commodore 64 looking logo, and like they used a Robin song in the background of the trailer. It's very
upbeat. Good Robin song too.
Like, that trailer is rad.
Yeah.
But I knew what that was because I have been waiting for Embark Studio to announce their game for ages, because I've been following what they've been doing on the tech side. So
this is ex-DICE folks, correct?
It's the studio that Patrick Soderlund started after he left EA. Like, he ran a big chunk of EA, right, for a long time, and then he left. And
I believe he was the one responsible for getting everything onto Frostbite.
That may be true. Well, I would say a number of the people responsible for Frostbite are now at Embark because, like, a bunch of ex-DICE people went over there. It's also in Stockholm. They've been posting a ton of stuff about the tech end of what they've been doing. Like, they're really big on open source stuff, so they've been open sourcing a lot of the components of the new game that they were working on. They're really big into like AI generation for content, for like, you know, human faces and stuff like that. They've been doing a lot of really interesting stuff with rendering tech, as you would expect from DICE people. Because look how good the Battlefield and Battlefront games have looked for so long. Their technical chops are like second to none, and I was really excited to see what their actual game is, and it looks pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
It's a free-to-play co-op online shooter with some really giant-ass robots in it.
I don't know if this is why it flew under the radar or, you know, if it's unrelated, but, like, I will say watching this trailer gave me extreme Generation Zero vibes. And
sure.
But
I don't... I would suggest not enough people remember Generation Zero for that to have been a factor.
You're probably right, and the thing is, like, this seems like a lot more lively than that game certainly was, but, like, it feels like it's going for a similar vibe of, you know, kind of cool teens running around a robot apocalypse.
Running around post-apocalyptic Sweden with giant death robots.
Don't think there's desert canyons in Sweden.
No, probably not. Who knows where this is.
But it's got that, I think I wrote down here, EDF meets Battlefront meets Simon Stalenhag, which is
totally. So honestly, like the pitch I just gave for it, like free to play online co-op PVE shooter with giant robots is like the most generic sounding video game in 2021. But like a lot of that action, like if you look, like they're also obviously like the physics are going to be really interesting. Like they kind of pitch it as like your kind of physics based toolbox. Like the tech end of this game is propping up a bunch of cool weapons and abilities and stuff like that. And sure enough, you know, it's like there's like those cluster missiles. Like I'm like a sucker for any game with cool cluster missiles. And like that they've got that, you know, like there's all these little drone enemies everywhere careening into each other and like exploding into chunks that go flying.
Yes. Very good particles.
There's like a shot of a player, like a grappling hooking one of those drones and like slamming it to the ground. It seems like the characters have some like jump pad, jump jet kind of stuff going on where you can like go flying into the air. There's like a lot of physics driven stuff in this. And then like straight up like Shadow of the Colossus style sized robots apparently that you will be cooperatively taking down. Like it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And this is PC and next gen, or are we on current gen?
We're
PC
on current gen.
All right. Yeah. PC and PS5 and Xbox X and S only.
Which,
yeah. 2022.
Yeah, I think you get about a 3-month window where you can still call it next gen. And after that, it's current gen.
Like I can't wait to get my hands on that. That looks really fun.
Yeah.
So free to play, huh?
Yeah.
See how I wonder.
Yeah, so it's backed by Nexon, so I guess that goes with the territory.
If it's just a bunch of cosmetics and that's how they make their money, then I think I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So again, like they've been putting up a bunch. They have a Medium account. They've been putting up a bunch of blogs on Medium where they talk about a lot of their back end tech, and like that's where you can read about like the kind of procedural human face generation that they've got going on. So that stuff could be cool in terms of generating cosmetics and such.
I'll be interested. As we head into what free to play means moving forward. I mean, there's it ain't your granddaddy's free to play.
What was my granddad's free to play?
Yeah.
What was your granddad's free to play?
My granddad's free to play was actual World War II.
I was resisting making that joke.
Okay.
I was resisting just joining up the recruitment drive. I don't know.
I threw on here Somerville, which was probably my favorite trailer, but also probably the one that is like the least, what is this game, or the most, what is this game?
This was announced during E3, right?
Yes, was it E3? I think it was E3. They've definitely shown at least one trailer for this before, but like I get extreme Inside vibes from this game. I don't know, you tell me.
Also, it's named after a place I used to live, so...
I think, isn't the developer around Boston?
I think they are.
I don't know. Like, yeah, I definitely get it, like, Inside vibes as well. But I don't know what the gameplay is going to be. Like, is it going to be, is it an adventure game? Like, I hope it's an adventure game. It kind of looks like it should be an adventure game.
I mean, we're still very much in the teaser trailer stage of this thing. So it feels like maybe they are just not quite ready to unveil the actual what you do in it. Phase of things.
Yeah. More just like
they want to give you the vibes. And the vibes are good. The vibes are like borderline immaculate.
I like the vibes. Well, I hope to see more of it. I just don't know.
It's a good trailer, if nothing else.
It's a good hype piece. Brad, you got another thing written down here with a lot of marks.
Have we gotten through all the other games?
I threw Have a Nice Death on here also, just because it looked like a fun little action game.
Also, a very good title.
Yeah. Yes.
you know, it's you're playing, it looks like, as Death, who things have gotten out of control in the Death, the business of Death, and you're going out there. For some reason, kind of reminded me a little bit of, I like Meat Boy vibes. It's not a platformer, it's kind of an action game, but like something about it seemed like a nice tight little action action game with good music. I don't know, something about it seemed like it could be a lot of fun to jump into and go, but
that looked pretty neat. Yeah. Definitely got some Death's Door vibes off of it as well.
Yeah,
that,
and it's got a, it's got a,
came out.
Well, the definitely Death right there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's right there in the title.
A lot of Reaper-y, you know, cartoony Reaper-ish imagery. I don't know. Should I actually talk about this?
I debated
whether to even write this down.
Do it.
There was a Super Giant Cross Imagine Dragons performance, and it was actually kind of okay.
I can tell you which half I bet was the good part of it.
They also played a song from that League of Legends series.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that performance was kind of not terrible.
Imagine Dragons is one of the... Look, I hate them, but at the same time, it's not because they're terrible musicians. I just don't think the songs they write are any good.
I mean, it's like pretty mainstream, like crowd-pleasing type.
Yes.
Pop rock, I grant.
I am just very happy to see Darren Korb up there on the stage. You know?
Yeah, like that's the thing. He seemed like he was having a great time up there.
So good for him. I say that's awesome. That's a great rub for him.
Yeah, I don't know. That song is pretty catchy, but
what was the like? What was the
I'm not afraid to like things. Okay,
what's that? What was the extent of the crossover?
Oh, like? They did a kind of a medley. It's not really a medley when they're only two songs, right? But they did a couple verses from I can never remember the name of the song from Bastion.
About the credit song?
About building the wall. I can't remember the actual title. You know what I'm talking about?
I think it might be called Building the Wall.
Build a wall, I think.
Nobody wants to remember the name.
Yeah, like it was a different time, but yes.
They did some of that with the Imagine Dragons dude singing one of the parts, and then they segued into that League song, and then kind of, you know, harmonized both at the end. That thing, I don't know what that format is called. You know what I mean?
It's like a medley, but it's more of like a crossover. I don't
have to watch it. Was Greg up there?
Greg was not up there, but Darren Korb was up there playing guitar and seemed like he was having a great time.
That's fantastic.
Yes,
they show footage.
I was very excited for them. No,
what? They don't even show like background footage of like
Ashley Barrett also there doing vocals. I should say.
Hmm. Anything from Hades?
No.
Boy,
Hades is. I think Hades is has.
Hades has collected its awards. It's gotten its flowers.
Yes, it's had its time. I'm sure they're on to the next thing at this point.
That's fun. I got nothing against Imagine Dragons. They got some big.
I've never liked them before. I should say, like, I never cared one whit about them. But I thought that song was pretty good.
Fine, I'll be the guy who hates Imagine Dragons on this podcast.
You are definitely not the only one I have heard very very tired at the very least tired of Imagine Dragons.
I saw some like Twitter conversation around that song. People arguing about whether it was okay to like it or not. somebody called Imagine Dragons Nickelback for Zoomers.
They make like music for Apple Watch commercials.
They very much occupy the space that Nickelback did for the previous generation.
Yeah, like if it says anything, my kids enjoy Imagine Dragons. I don't think it is very challenging music.
That's what I meant about it being very mainstream. Like it works. There's a reason it works, but it's all kind of the same.
Don't worry. One day, Vinny, your kids will learn what actual music sounds like, and they will learn to love it.
Like, it's basically just, like, wall of sound for the 21st century, right? It's just, it's literally Mutt Lange or, like, Phil Spector. Just, like, let's just multi-track these vocals over and over until it sounds like you're in an arena. Like, that's the trick.
It's arena rock with like, a real veneer
But not
of,
rock, really. But, like, but it's barely rock. Rock. Yeah.
So it's, like, arena rock with the veneer of, like, pre-press conference. Like, hey, filter this through. We're going to do a press conference in about 5 minutes and, like, put that filter on.
Actually, the interesting thing was I went and listened to the like pre-recorded the song. It's used as the intro for that League song, and when I heard that studio version of it, I was like, "Oh no, no thanks." Actually, this is what I don't like because it's so overproduced. But like in the stage version was like not so bad, a little more raw.
Paul McCartney's going to put out the real raw version.
That's
gonna
right,
be amazing.
I mean, he wrote that song in like 3 minutes.
You're going to want to watch 12 hours of Imagine Dragons noodling around. Those are the ones we pulled, unless anybody else has anything else. It was a pretty big list of announcements. Yeah,
it's pretty action-packed.
At the same time, I think that show could have been 2 hours.
Yeah. Mm.
I think it started to run out of steam at a point.
I know we didn't really want to touch too much on it. I will just say they did confirm that Quantic Dream Star Wars game. It is happening. They are doing it.
Yeah.
And then as you see the register in my voice goes down, the longer I talk about this, that's all I want to say about it. They're doing it.
Like I have to agree with the sentiment I saw out there that was basically just like, so are we just okay with Quantic Dream all of a sudden now? Like after everything that's happened there?
That's the thing. I don't feel like there was ever really a reckoning there. It was like they had their legal reckoning, but like no one really seemed to kind of like come together and be like, what do we actually feel about Quantic Dream at this point? I know how I feel about them.
I want to echo the sentiment that Star Wars deserves a better studio.
Yes.
That's
yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. I know it was not planned, but like it takes two winning no awards at all and Keeley even making a joke about how he has learned to keep the microphone away from Joseph Fares.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes two winning Game of the Year at the very end was like a pretty good laugh out loud moment. It was just like, oh man, I really thought you were going to get through this without him getting on stage, didn't you? And then somehow, despite not being recognized in any other category, it won Game of the Year.
2021 is a fascinating year.
I'm not going to yell about games that win game awards. That is my New Year's resolution. I'm just going to let this slide.
Well, that means we got some time.
He didn't say anything controversial somehow.
Brad, while I have you here, and this is tangentially related to this stuff, but I was going through trying to figure out what's next on the horizon for the Caravelle family in the co-op arena, and that Destiny stuff looks pretty good.
Mm.
Have you kept up with what's going on there? Is this a good one?
I must have lost the plot on the release dates and delays. Because until like last week, I thought that expansion was out in December, but apparently it got pushed again to February, or maybe it was always February.
They're promoting the heck out of it. There's a lot of Destiny to keep up with on your PlayStation and Xbox places.
There's a lot of Destiny to keep up with. I mean that one seems like a very major expansion. I don't keep up with Destiny very closely these days. Mm. I know.
Okay.
Some people occasionally it seems like people have a hard time understanding the taste change over time.
No, I don't get it.
You're
too busy playing Dota.
That's all I do. I've been super checked out of Destiny since Beyond Light came out pretty much.
That's not that long ago. That's pretty recent.
Well, no, but I played through like the story stuff in that expansion and then kind of dropped it immediately.
That's kind of where I was too. Like I didn't keep up with it after the story, the narrative missions ended.
Yeah. But what I mean is like, I didn't even do what is considered you know how there's like, you do the kind of six missions that are like the campaign, but mm-hmm. there's still a bunch more story stuff after that. Like I didn't even do any of that.
Oh, like, okay. Like just, the side missions.
Like I did the missions that a lot of people consider like the beginning of the expansion. And then you start getting all the cool stuff and then you start doing the side missions and stuff. And I didn't even do most of that.
You didn't get your epics or whatever.
I still like playing Destiny, but it's just, I don't know.
We all saw the promotional stuff, my brothers and I, and we're like, man, we really like playing Destiny. We should get back into
Destiny. It's still a hell of a good shooter.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's just so many like endless repetitive grindy activities, you know, and currencies to keep up with. And like, it's like the service game, like the live game aspect really comes to the fore eventually. And it's just like, I liked this game when it was new and fresh and like there was mystery to discover, when I'm just like grinding out my dailies so I can go do this wave based thing for the 100th time to try to get that mm-hmm. one. I kind of do want to get in there for that Bungie 30th anniversary stuff though, because
is that current?
Yeah. I think it launched already or at any day now. Like it's supposed to be this month if it's not out yet, but they sure did fill Destiny full of a bunch of fake Halo weapons.
I was just going to say, you got like Master Chief armor.
I mean, there's like straight up an energy sword in there. Like there's a lot of the pistol.
Oh boy.
And there's a bunch of flavor text around it that is like very wink and nod a classic weapon returns and stuff. And it's like, yes, I know Microsoft probably owns those designs at this point, but
that's funny.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back and talk about actual Halo. Along with the gunk in some of what we've been playing. So stick around. We'll be right back.
This week's show is brought to you by Rocket Money. Brad Shoemaker, Alex Navarro. I bet you guys have subscriptions.
I had a lot of subscriptions. I had too many subscriptions, and at a certain point, I had to drill down. I had to focus. I had to make sure that I did not have so many subscriptions anymore.
You had to take time out of your day.
My busy schedule.
Your time, which is worth more than anything, to find those subscriptions and cancel. Brad Shoemaker, do you live a subscription lifestyle?
I am just a walking monthly bill at this point.
It's the world we live in. If you need help, boy, guys, I got some news for you. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. It says here that most people think they're spending $80 on their subscriptions, when in reality, the number is closer to $200.
My God.
What are we even doing? With Rocket Money, you can easily cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. Rocket Money also lets you monitor all your expenses in one place, recommends custom budgets based on your past spending, and they'll even send you notifications when you've reached your spending limits. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/nextlander. That's rocketmoney.com/nextlander. rocketmoney.com/nextlander. Thanks, Rocket Money. This week's show is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Alex Navarro, Brad Shoemaker. You're not going to walk out of the house naked, right?
Not if I can help it.
You're going to put your VPN on first.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
One leg at a time, like I always do.
ExpressVPN is the easiest way to browse safely, securely, and just better. I just use ExpressVPN. I was away on a trip. I've had ExpressVPN for a couple of years here. When I got on that hotel Wi-Fi, I slipped right into ExpressVPN. One click, very easy. Get in there, and then I was able to access the internet, let's say.
What are you doing on that vacation there? Hmm?
I had to access my GitHub account, and I was doing some coding, and then
I'm sure.
I used my ExpressVPN and then VPN'd into my home computer.
Likely story.
Uh-huh. And then I watched some videos, and it's fast enough.
That's what they all say.
It's got great speeds. It was connected very easily. I was even able to stream in HD problemless on the hotel Wi-Fi. And they didn't know a damn thing. Says here you can connect to ExpressVPN and you won't even realize you have it on, which I can vouch for. It's pretty seamless. So right now, go to expressvpn.com/nextlander and you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/nextlander to get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN. expressvpn.com/nextlander. Thanks, ExpressVPN. And we are back! And it's not all looking to the future, though if looking to the future is a fun and noble pursuit, where would we be as humans if we did not look to the future and also have expectations and disappointment? It is humanity, after all.
Mm-hmm.
But we live in the present. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't either, but I want to see where it goes.
Coming in hot. We live in the now. And right now, we get to talk about, I'm trying to pick which game we should start with. The Gunk?
Brad, you're muted.
Oh no, Brad's muted. Brad's been backing me up on this whole thing, and he was muted. I'm
sitting here making it was a bad joke. we live in a ring-shaped society.
Oh, okay, so you wanted to go right. Halo Infinite. Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's up to you. That's up to you. The Gunk is, we've been playing The Gunk.
We've been playing The Gunk. I was going to start with the... Well, you know, let's get Halo out of the way, because I don't have too much more to say.
We just spent all the time building up. We're going to start with The Gunk, and we're just going to go to Halo. Yeah. All right, fine.
Let's start with Halo, in that I have played a bunch more Halo since the last time we met. I think my thoughts, to sum up my thoughts quickly on Halo, because it's not really too deep. I think the moment-to-moment is pretty fun in Halo. I think the marathon of Halo is kind of a little samey.
That's that's kind of where I was getting at or getting to with it. On account of having to start over after putting a few hours into that review build, I have not got past where I got to the first time.
Okay.
So I haven't seen anything new, but I was a ways in. I got to, it's not a spoiler. I mean, it's, let me put it this way.
Are you on the ring?
Oh yeah. 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 What I was going to say is if you consider a spoiler that there is a mission in this game where you have to shut down a mining laser.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I would say the number of video games with missions where you shut down a mining laser outnumbers the number of video games without.
Yeah, I'll one-up you to make sure you don't take any heat for that. I'm up to missions where you have to shut down towers.
What?
I have to shut down multiple spires, let's say.
Ooh. That's where I got to in the story. I got to the mission. I was in the mission after that, the conservatory.
Okay.
Which is where you start seeing a lot of, like, repeated the same room several times in a row. But that's very much where I had gotten to with it as well, of like, hey, the Halo combat is still really fun. And in fact, with this grappling hook in the mix, it's even more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I still like shooting these guns and stuff, but like, the open world activities, the nature of a lot of the story mission design, like, it was definitely starting to feel a bit repetitive.
And I think that kind of tracks with some of the reporting that was coming out about what they end up having to do in kind of the last year and a half of development of that game. It sounds like they had to scale some things back, because it's like you said, the moment-to-moment gameplay is very exciting. Yeah, like, the firefights are fun. When shit is popping off in that game, it is almost universally enjoyable. But the actual, like, design around that stuff, the number of objective types, the things that you are doing, it really feels like they had a few of those they knew that were going to work, and that was what they stuck with. Like, they just kind of keep doing those things in varying locations.
It's like surprisingly tried and true old school open world design.
Yeah.
It's really just kind of that.
And I kind of get it to it from a certain degree, because like, it is, you know, Halo's first attempt at doing something along these particular lines. So don't, you know, stretch yourself too thin, but I think it even is maybe a little thin for like what feels like a first effort in that regard.
Okay, here are some very positive, fun things that I have had happen. Again, moment-to-moment stuff. I'm at the point now where at a forward or a FOB, a forward operating base, boy, they say FOB too much, but at a forward operating base, I can now summon a scorpion tank anytime I want. Mm-hmm. And so just taking that thing on the dumbest missions, like, hey, we've got, what are they called? The targets of opportunity, big bads.
Kind of the VIP type targets.
Yeah, just roll in those fucking scorpion up in the air, firing three shots, big targets down.
So, you know, that sounds awesome. Like, that is a great application of Halo in an open world.
Yeah, that's super fun. It gets a little tough, though, because it's the open world and they know what you're up to. So first of all, there's one path you can get that scorpion out of the FOB, and usually that's a windy road, right? You can't just take it off the side anywhere. And then they put these things up on hills, so you can't get that thing up there, but you can get it up there if you really try. So that's a lot of fun. And as you go up, your troopers become rocket troopers and snipers and stuff, and that's been a lot of fun. The other thing was, I had a mission and had to do with some Forerunner stuff, but they're like, oh, this Forerunner, go check out this Forerunner thing. And I was like, I'm going to go do all these other missions so I can get my Valor up. And holy cow, after every mission, there must have been about 10 pieces of dialogue that were the fake Cortana weapon or whatever it is like, hey, so, you know, we should probably go check out that Forerunner thing. To the point where it ended, be like, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm super fucking curious what's in that Forerunner thing. You should go look.
Between the weapon and the pilot and like, I don't even know what else. Like, there's a decent amount of nagging in
there. There's a lot of quirk.
Heavy on the quirk. Yeah, the pilot still hasn't gotten better. Pilot actually got worse. I actually thought the pilot was just gonna bail on me at some point. I was like, just go, just leave.
We gotta get that guy some therapy, man.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I'm having fun in the. I still love grappling around. I still love doing the grapple punch stuff. I still love grappling the explosives, the guns, that whole thing. But it is a very much the combat encounters when you're doing, like, again, outside of a tank going into a place it shouldn't be, can be a little rinse and repeat.
Yeah, it's like, and kind of hot and cold for me. Like, some of those banished outposts were really fun to do, and then others I felt were just like there was one I did in particular, I forget which one it was, that felt like there were like way too many snipers in there.
Oh yes,
you snipers. Maybe you know which one I'm talking about.
Like, there's a couple where you just like, you turn around, you go hide behind cover and you're dead. because right, a sniper right. was behind
like,
you.
Yeah, so even some of those outposty Far Cry type things have been like pretty up and down for me.
Yeah, the I did get the cooldown on the grappling hook to a place that I can just now scale vertical cliffs because I it cools down before I reach the point at which I started.
Is there a second cooldown reduction?
I don't know if, no, I think it goes into like, one. Yeah, I think the first cooldown thing is enough to get you where if you shoot far enough up, you'll always gain altitude. So
that, I fell down, you know, the weird, like, I guess they're kind of hexes, right? Yeah, the hexagonal like, looking weird columns that are all over the place. Like yeah. I fell off one of those cliffs one time and I must've spent like a solid minute, like trying to grapple my way back
did
up
and
slingshot myself up there. I almost did. And then I whiffed it and yeah.
So like I've climbed sheer cliffs now and that's fun. It's almost like, you know, taking a vehicle sometimes feels a little slower than just using the grappling hook to navigate around because it is so mountainous and vertical. But it, like again, that stuff's very fun. I'm having a good time in there. Game seems to run pretty well.
Yeah, I think the grappling hook does kind of make that combat, or it's like the centerpiece of the combat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the thing that makes it not just another Halo game.
Yeah. The story I've gotten so far, though, and I think, you know, my hours and hours of playtime could probably be condensed down to 15 minutes. Like, I don't really think I'm just... done that much.
I just don't think I care that much about it. Like, I'm again, it really is just the shooting and the combat and the sequences that come from that are like they're propelling me forward in this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to see where they take the Cortana rampancy stuff, but like from what I've heard, I don't know that they actually take it anywhere super profound.
I think they're doing interesting things, or at least they're making good on some of the logs you find telling the filling in the gaps of the last hours or days of that battle and the ship crashing in. I just wish you didn't have to find them all, you know, or like they weren't tucked around. Cause sometimes they're hard to track down.
Oh, the UXer don't want me to tell you this.
You can't like, replay missions and they're missable.
Yeah. Those. Yeah. So I think you can, if I understand correctly, you can go into any of the story mission areas again on the ring.
Yeah.
But those first two missions on that capital ship, like the ones before you hit the ring, are just done. You can't go back. And if you miss collectibles there, you just missed them.
Speaking of the mining laser, I went back because I think there's a collectible by the mining laser I wanted to get, and the doors weren't open on that thing anymore.
Oh, no.
So,
That stinks too.
I didn't know how to open back up because they opened as part of the story mission on the mining laser, and I don't know how to reopen it. But I read a thing
helps
that said
it all. It sounds like there might also be some glitches around some of those collectibles. Like I've seen some people report saying that like they collected them, but then the game did not show that they had collected them. So maybe that's not the thing to focus on.
I had some stuff where achievements were popping, like, "Hey, took your first fob," and I was like, "Dude, that was like 15 hours
ago."
Ago,
man.
I don't know why you're giving me that one now, but I don't really care. The I did read that they're going to try and patch in redoing missions at some point, which they kind of have to if they're going to have missable.
Isn't that a Halo thing? Am I dreaming that up? I thought all the Halo games let you kind of start any mission.
I'm pretty sure they do, but my Halo knowledge is not great, so I don't know. I went back to the Master Chief Collection, and that just lets you jump into any mission at any point, even if you haven't played.
They're like, yeah, we know, you proved you could do this.
We know you just want to drive the Warthog out of the exploding Halo or the exploding ship. We get it. All right, the gunk.
Get so gunked. Gunk.
We were playing some of the gunk. This comes out, I think as of
today.
Yeah. As of
listening to this on posting day, it's out
the release of this. So we're going to just talk about some of the earlier stuff, because it's still technically under embargo, but it's $25. Mm-hmm. And I think that me saying that qualifies it immediately. Right. I'm saying that because it feels like maybe it's not a fully fleshed out big budget thing.
It feels to me like, remember how we played Kena Bridge of Spirits and said it feels kind of like a PS2 B game?
Mm-hmm.
It feels very much like that to me. Like, it very much feels like I was a lighthearted, good looking little puzzle platformer with a mechanic, which is a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, it feels like an early 360 arcade game.
Yeah.
I think that's how I feel about it. But like, you know, it it's not without some budget and some, you know, some polish around it.
It's growing on me. I mean, we should mention the claim to fame of this game is that the SteamWorld developer Imogen Form was involved with it. SteamWorld Dig, SteamWorld Heist, SteamWorld... We just talked about this recently.
Yeah,
Quest.
Hand of Gilgamesh?
Yeah, Hand of Gilgamesh. SteamWorld X. Quest, I think. And they've got SteamWorld Headhunter coming. I don't know to what extent they were actually involved in the game, though, because they merged with another developer. sometime in the last year or two.
Okay.
So it, I don't know if the other developer was the one who originated this project or who knows, but like it doesn't feel quite like a SteamWorld. Like the SteamWorld games are like have like this really zany kind of charm to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those games are weird and they have got a weird personality to them. And this one feels a little bit more bland and straightforward to me.
I don't know that I would agree that it's bland. Like I think there is some personality there, but it is a different kind of personality than certainly what the SteamWorld stuff is.
It does not feel like a SteamWorld game, at least I'll say that.
The premise is that you are you play as one of two people on this I don't know if it's a reconnaissance ship or if it's
you're like a scavenger. You got a mortgage on that thing. You're straight up scrappers. It's Ronnie or R-N-A-I R-A-N-I Ranny or Ronnie?
Ronnie.
And Brex? Brit? I forget the partner's name. Brit? I can't remember.
Whatever the case, they land on this planet that is, because there's a faint signal of something they're interested in, and they find this planet that is overrun with this gunk. The gunk is sort of like strangling the life out of all the flora and fauna around them. Mm-hmm. You have this power glove. They literally call it a power glove. And you can use that. There's a variety of different ways you can use it, but the main thing you do right at the outset is that you can use it to vacuum up all that gunk and also various resources that you will use to craft and upgrade things.
You know what? When I mentioned Kenna, I didn't even remember that they actually have that exact same mechanic of like very deadened, monochrome, gray-looking, ugly environments, and then you do a thing, and then they explode into color and life and vibrancy again, which is like an effective trick. Like it looks good.
The gunk in this game, narrative-wise, is sapping or absorbing the energy, like kind of Brad just said, and power, which is you're looking for energy to sell back to make a big payday. So, like, if you can track down this energy on this planet, it's going to be a big score for you. Which leads you to kind of keep investigating the gunk and the whole thing. And, you know, as you explore the planet, there are parts that get way more interesting narrative-wise. So I think I'm up to the part where it's more than just the gunk. There's other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. What are the odds that they ultimately have to give up their big payday to preserve the sanctity of nature?
Oh, I hope not. Take the payday and go. strip mine the planet.
Hyper-capitalist Vinny, man.
It's and so you get a lot of upgrades for your arm. You get some general kind of platforming upgrades, like you can run faster. You can there's some light combat so far, which is, you know, not too bad. Platforming mostly, and kind of jumping around.
Yeah, like it feels to me like a very kind of old fashioned traditional puzzle platformer, honestly.
But I think it's like at least from what I've played, it feels like a good one of those. Like I'm enjoying the cleaning and vacuuming of the gunk has a real like power wash simulator kind of trigger in my brain of just
I could see that.
I am making the environment clean, and that is making me happy kind of thing.
Sure. It's satisfying. And again, like that, the effect when you purge an area and it gets all green and lush again is very nice looking. I mean, I'm playing it on a Series S here, and it runs very nicely. And
yeah.
Looks very good. I will say there's a couple times, like one in particular, like you have to get every last glob of gunk to move on. And like, there's been a couple times where like there was one tiny little gunk nub, like kind of not obvious in the environment. And I kind of had to run around for like 5 minutes trying to figure out like, okay, which one tiny little thing of gunk did I miss?
There is a scanning mechanic, but not for the gunk. You do scan other things.
That's kind of cool. Like, don't know why I feel like I'm being played for a fool that I like to scan stuff, and that's how they lock the upgrades in this. But just like every like five unique plants you scan, you unlock another upgrade. Yeah. And for some reason, that feels really great.
And then you have to suck some of them up for crafting materials.
There's a lot of material sucking.
It's full on. Like to unlock the sprint, you need 20 metal and five fiber and like a bunch of this. Yeah,
it's pretty clear what things have. I mean, they have like little sparkles coming off of them. What things are going to be craftable materials and what are not. If you hold the left trigger to aim, things with a little red thing on them are things you've... I think it is.
Yeah, red is you've already scanned. Yeah. Green means you can still scan it.
I appreciate that. So you don't go around having to scan everything. I think it does feel a little loose around the edges, but I'm going to keep going with it because I hit some parts in the narrative where I'm like, I'm very curious to see what happens here. And
yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I also know what you mean about it feeling a little loose. Like I've had I missed a couple jumps where I sort of landed on the platform and the collision didn't seem to work right, where she sort of planted her feet and then just slid back off.
I don't know if you guys have had this one too. Like, there's a thing where you will throw these seeds into these little pools, and then
and
it will grow
collision on the platform
mushrooms.
Yes,
that you're supposed
I have
to
that
platform
too.
On.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. And like, and the collision just isn't there until you walk away for a second and then come back.
And because you just fall through the platforms. Yeah, like it's a little rough, but yeah, you like I for some reason I in my mind it was $40, but you saying that it was 25 was like, okay, that sounds about right for this.
I think it's pretty charming out of the gate, and I think that like that just that if you are into the sort of like let's wash this environment clean and make it nice and pretty again kind of thing, I think that it is hitting those brain points. But it's not complicated. Yes.
No, it is very straightforward, but it's pretty, and the music is pretty soothing, and like if you're in need of like a pretty light, not super challenging puzzle platformer with some nice aesthetics.
Also, the characters are charming. Like I enjoy the back and forth between the two ladies, and the dumb robot is fun.
Yes. Also, I know this sentiment is widespread these days, but it's just on Game Pass, so like do we even have to tell you if you should play it or not?
Right, if you're in that ecosystem, check it out.
It's just there.
You probably have Game Pass, so there's not a lot of other games coming out right now. You should probably just check it out.
Yeah, I think the characters are neat. I think the atmosphere is neat. Some of the voice acting, I think, is hit or miss. But
So
oh, you're just mad they keep saying solder instead of solder.
No, you can say solder. I think the UK says solder.
I know, but I literally... But these do not sound like British voice actors.
No, that's what I'm saying. Some of the reads seem off.
I definitely like literally said out loud at one point, please stop saying soldier.
I think some of the reads were like, we could have used another take on that line kind of things. Because they have like a real, like, hey, we've known each other for, I think they're 5 years, the two on the ship. And like, they're supposed to be very comfortable with each other, but some of the reads seem.
Yeah. Like some of the banter maybe doesn't mesh quite as well as it could, but like I'm warming up to it. Like the more I get into it, the more I want to like unlock those upgrades and see where the game goes. Does it ever open up?
You get fast travel.
Okay. Cause you have a, but it never goes like truly open.
There are different paths, but they seem pretty, it seemed like areas.
It's very, the level design is very like corridor based for sure.
That's the thing. Like a lot of the ultimate paths are more just like, hey, here's where some hidden stuff is if you want to go get it.
Yeah, actually, you do have the mother, or I guess it's a mothership. It's a two person mothership, but you have that like hub where the ship has
that's where your crafting benches and all that stuff.
Stuff like that. I wasn't sure if the world like spoke off of that at some point or if it's just kind of more level based.
To that point, no, it seems like actually you go to, a lot of times you're fast traveling back to your ship to go do your upgrades and fast traveling back to the furthest point to go, explore again. But to that point about it opening up, actually within the levels, there are, I guess I'm not used to the loads anymore, but there are multiple loads within an area that made me feel like I was leaving the area, but you're just like kind of going in a side path to loop around back into the area, but it will load into those, which, you know, you just don't see that much anymore. Like, you kind of just see more streaming assets and stuff like that, where not a hard, like, hey, go through this tunnel. It's a hard load.
Yeah.
Usually you just duck under something and come out the other side while it streams in.
Yeah, so that might be a concession to the previous consoles. I assume it's on those.
Probably.
Well.
But, you know, again, also, this game coming out in the middle of December, it felt to me like it might be coming in a little hot, and there are a few aspects of it that feel like, yeah, okay, this is not, like, 100% polished.
But again, I enjoy it, and I'll probably keep going with it and see. I'm getting enough upgrades and moving quickly enough where it's brisk, and I'm enjoying it.
It's pleasing.
I'm not getting stuck in the gunk, you know?
Yeah, it's pleasant. Sure.
Pleasant. And then there's in an age of... you know, marketing hype and, you know, all sorts of nonsense. Who do you believe? A good old Engine Tech demo comes out.
Oh,
finally.
Yeah.
It's been way too long.
It's been too long since I have seen textures on a sphere, a wet sphere. Show me what these textures are going to look like. Let me toggle on and off something in your engine.
Totally, dude. Give me a wireframe view. Let me watch those fairies flit around those trees in that NVIDIA demo.
Let me see all the dots that are all the AI. Like,
I am, of course, talking about The Matrix Awakens, an Unreal 5 experience.
Now you get to the modern version is you get to flip on the nanite primitives from the virtualized geometry.
Okay, before we get too deep into it, I just want to say I would have spent my entire 25 minutes just doing all of that. Like, I didn't have to play a thing. Just let me flip on all of your mechanics.
The shooting gallery, I guess, is useful from a cinematic, like, hey, here's what games are going to look like soon kind of standpoint.
I guess. Also, I'm pretty toggling.
I think that shooting gallery or some version of it might have just been in Enter the Matrix. I think this is just like an update of an Enter the Matrix level.
I mean, it's barely a game. It's, like, it's just you were in a speeding car. And
so was Enter the Matrix. So
there are just fixed points that you just highlight a cursor on the different tires to shoot out. Like, you're not even aiming, really.
Yeah. So it's like three parts of this thing. The first part is this kind of meta thing with Keanu Reeves and Carrie-Anne Moss, which are just like them talking about being in the Matrix movies and then being in the Matrix. And it's just like very weird.
All I wanted out of this thing was a virtual Keanu Reeves head to play with. Like, literally all I wanted to do was
do the Mario 64 faces.
Uh-huh.
Even if they didn't let me touch his face, I just wanted to zoom in all the way on it. I just wanted to like get as close to Keanu Reeves' face as I possibly could.
And, if you want to touch Keanu Reeves' face, I've got some machinima porn for you that I'll send your way.
I've got Cyberpunk installed.
Okay, fair enough.
I just wanted to rotate his hair or rotate his head and watch his hair swing around.
His beard comes up pretty high on those cheekbones. I want to shave it down a little bit.
The intro of that thing is weird because like some of it is actual video, I think.
Oh yeah. It's mixed humans,
but there are also some shots that are like UE5 versions of them that are also very realistic. Like it's kind of, they never give you a real time version of either of those actors to actually mess with.
Yeah. I mean,
which is what I wanted.
it's interesting. It's like, it's got a little bit of like intro to a Disney ride vibe or like a fake Jurassic Park. Like, tell me, Mr. DNA, how did you make Keanu Reeves? Well, we use so that part's fun. And then you're in a car and then you're in a playable, not full motion video, but like not rendered. It's on rail shooter. It's like, you can't really do too much. You're pushing left and right on the stick to shoot stuff.
But there's some very nice visual effects attached to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you guys play it on, and how did it look?
PS5.
PS5.
You both played it on PS5?
Yeah.
Okay. I played it on the Series S here, and, like, it was... Like, I was bracing for, like, all right, just show me some photorealism. Like, this is the first time anybody's gotten their hands on UE5. This is very exciting. Like, you can kind of see the seams on a Series S. Like, there are definitely spots where it's like, that still looks like a very good-looking video game, but a video game.
So, when you're walking around in the open world, at least when I was on PS5, I feel like the character model, the lady that you're sort of controlling, like, looks the most video gamey of anything in it. Like, her walk and sort of, like, the textures on her are not, like, wow-worthy. But there are definitely some points when you're walking around in that city and you are driving a car or you are just kind of, you know, running around looking in the buildings and stuff where it's like, oh, this does feel like a pretty big leap, at least from what I'm used to in terms of like open world visuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some of, flying up into the sky and messing with the time of day, like kind of getting the sun positioned so it was like shining down an avenue with
the lighting is really nice.
Over bright stuff. Like, there are spots in there in that city that can look very good.
The lighting, the streaming, and the assets is very good. Like, you get in a car that can go pretty quickly. And I mean, it gets really framey, or it kind of...
Oh, it does, on the PS5. Interesting. Oh, yeah.
I don't know, Alex, I don't know if you had... Like, bunch of cars that can crash. It can get pretty chunky.
Yeah, like, I noticed a little bit of chunking during, like, the shooting gallery stuff when, like, a bunch of stuff was exploding. But I don't know if I noticed too much of that when I was just kind of running around.
Mine was getting a little chunky, but like, you know, I wanted to see where the edges of the world were and
totally
drive that thing around. And it's neat. Like, they let you, so the third part is you just take control in a kind of third person, run around almost Grand Theft Auto style, jump in a car.
Yeah, like there's some icons on the map where you can go and it's just like little instructional things of just like, hey, here's a good place to turn on the day and night cycle, or here's a place where you can check out this thing. You know, like,
I have to get back in there. I didn't see those.
Yeah, there's a bunch of icons on the map, but like, they're not really like, they're not missions or anything. It's literally just like, here's some like tutorial tips about things you can do with this.
And you can also drive cars. I missed that.
You can drive cars.
The second I got in there, I just went to fly mode and just flew around all over the place.
Well, the second, I got in there and hit fly and I was like, oh, it just attaches the camera.
I really thought they were going to do the Neo Superman. Yeah. Like, I was going to get to fly the character.
Let that lady fly. Come on.
Yeah. I was really bummed out. And then I was like, I'm going to get in a car. So I think you can only take the parked cars. I don't think you can like rip somebody out of a car and take one that's on the road. But there are, more than a few cars you can jump into. And
they deform pretty good. Like, you wrecked those cars into stuff. They wreck real fucking good.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that was in there either. I've got to get back in there.
The people just dissolve into like computer bits.
If Matrix stuff.
Yeah, there's no collision on the people whatsoever.
And like, I don't even think there's an animation of you getting in the car. It's just like you warp into the car. But it's for, I'm kind of with you, Brad. I think it looked like a really well done modern game. If you told me this is like not a new engine, I could believe it. I think where the rubber hits the road in that demo, there's a lot of driving. Mm-hmm. Is probably less for me the visual fidelity and more of the stuff you wouldn't even notice, like the AI stuff and the light, keeping up with the lighting, keeping up with the streaming in the world. Like you gun it in that car, and at some point I thought they were just looping the road over and over again, but they're not, because you're just going super fast with all these high density assets coming in.
Right. Yeah. Like that's another thing. UE5 eliminates any level of detail popping, right? Like as you move closer to stuff, you don't see like the higher quality stuff pop in. It's all smooth now.
It was like really impressive. You know, I thought they were doing some tricks with like the light bouncing off the road and it filling the sky, but I think it was just all streaming in, which was impressive. I don't know what half of the things they were talking about during their little presentation part of, the meshes and like toggling on the,
so like that's that spot where Keanu Reeves is like marching at the head of a giant army of people.
Yeah.
Like UE5 also is doing some of the same stuff Embark is doing with like procedural generation of characters. They have a name for it, cause they name all of their middleware, you know, Nanite, Lumen. I cannot remember.
Chaos one of their things.
I can't remember what the name of their people thing is, but they are also getting into like, that stuff's exciting. Like there are some really good looking human characters coming out of that stuff. And like, that is going to help artists a lot, I'm sure.
I mean, we did that. We talked about that story with, who was it? Was it Unity who wound up buying the Weta stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the convergence of stuff, it's all CG stuff at some point, right? Like the same tools that you're going to use to make these games are going to be used in the movies.
Yeah. And Unreal is so big in film and TV production now.
Yeah, so
TV in particular.
So it's neat to see some of that stuff become real time.
And also neat to get our hands on it, just because like the software end of this generation has lagged the hardware so much, right? Like I'm sure a lot of that is the pandemic, and a lot of it is just the economics of like, hey, a lot of people can't get their hands on these consoles yet.
Yeah.
Like we need to keep putting out games that run on the old ones. But like we haven't had our Gears of War moment yet, you know? Like remember how Remember how Gears 1 came out a year after the 360 launched, and it was the first Unreal Engine 3 game, and it was just like, holy shit, like, oh, wow, okay, this is what these consoles can do, you know?
Right, yes.
Like there's been some good-looking stuff, like Ratchet was really nice.
I think, yeah, everybody thought, I think a lot of people thought, maybe misguided, and I was on that boat too, that Cyberpunk would be that herald.
God, they haven't even gotten around to making that next-gen version of those yet.
So, now it's kind of got off to maybe a bad start for me.
Yeah.
If anybody hasn't had a chance to play this or can't play it because they don't have a next gen, do not worry. We talked a lot about the canonical Matrix. I don't really think there's anything in here that is moving the story forward.
No, and
in fact, it's like
all
weirdly meta, you know, because it's actually like Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss are like almost playing themselves in this, you know.
Yeah, I really like liked it when we were back in this.
It's like never trust the marketing department.
Oh yeah, I thought it was actually kind of funny, but
that's fine.
It was like the level of press conference humor in a demo, which was
very much
very silly.
It was what the joke needed to be for that thing.
Not nearly as good as any of those clips of Keanu Reeves in those interviews on the press tour they've been doing that are floating around about, you name it. If you haven't seen him talking about his feelings on NFTs or his feelings about the Cyberpunk mods that let people have sex with him, like you should really go look those up.
Oh, no, I haven't seen any of that stuff. And I have no idea, you saying that, no idea which way it's going to go.
Keanu Reeves seems like a very fun guy.
Let's just say that I think you will still like Keanu Reeves when you are done watching this.
I think it is like impossible to dislike him at this point.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, he also just seems like he's in that thing, in the Matrix thing, being like, yeah, man, the Matrix.
I've begun my Matrix rewatches in preparation for the new movie. So
I was shocked to see, it's a little startling because you see some, I think some rendered stuff and some actual footage from the original Matrix, how young he looks in that stuff.
Even, and he wasn't even rendered that young. Like he was in his, you know, well into his 30s by that point, but like he's just, you know, nowadays it's like we're used to the kind of grizzled Keanu.
Yeah. I mean, that's 20 years on you. That'll put some miles on. That's right. Long haired Keanu. You think he'll ever go short hair again? I bet he will. We'll get into another short hair phase.
If they ever make another Constantine, he'll get the haircut.
Mm. Is John Wick? John Wick has long hair, right? I think he does.
John Wick just has whatever hair Keanu wants, depending on what's going on. So.
Okay, it's just Keanu at that point.
I'm pretty sure he just shows up in his wardrobe and says, "Hand me a gun." All right, let's go.
Okay. So that is The Matrix Awakens, available for free. It's basically an Unreal 5 tech demo, but you know, it's got some fun stuff. You could probably get the same thing out of it if you don't have it and want to check it out. Some videos of it. Look up some 4K videos or something like that. The Gunk out now as of the official release of this podcast. You can catch it on Game Pass, or if you want to put in $25 for it, if you don't have Game Pass, it's available on Xbox platforms. I think it's exclusive. It's like not even on Steam. So
yeah, I couldn't find a Steam page.
So you can check that out. And then, of course, over on the Xbox side as well, Microsoft side, you have Halo Infinite, also on Game Pass. And we're $60 on Steam. If that's where you want to go for that stuff.
I've seen more than one person that I follow on Twitter say that they gave up trying to make Game Pass work on PC and just went and bought it on Steam.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's a move. Huh?
Uh-huh. Game Pass on PC, maybe.
A little dicey.
Need a little more time in the oven.
Just stream it. Just
that is an option.
Open your browser and go.
It's funny. Watch. I don't know why there's been this fresh wave of people getting Xbox products of various kinds lately. But that's another thing I keep seeing on my feed over and over is, like, I played half of Psychonauts, like, 3 months ago on my PC, and now I just got a Series X, and oh my god, my save is just here. Like,
oh.
That is the most, like, you know, meat and potatoes feature you could have in your console ecosystem, and yet people just, like, consistently have their mind blown by it.
I still love it every time I do it.
No,
too.
It's
great. I just don't expect it. We're not trained to expect it.
That's exactly my point, is like everybody should have that, but like the bar is so low for that stuff working right that when anybody does it right, it's like, oh my god, why isn't everything this way?
It's like a revelation.
I still get excited at Quick Resume. Like, I still think
Quick Resume's fantastic.
It is.
It's pretty good.
It's all fantastic. Like they figured, Microsoft really figured it out.
Is that on the S? Is there Quick Resume on the S
yes.
as well?
Okay. Yes.
I'm a little confused because we did the game second, so I feel like ending the podcast here just makes it weird, but that is going to end our podcast for this week, folks. Next week, we're getting close to the holidays here. We're going to be shuffling stuff up a bit. I think next week we're going to do some, next week we're going to get into starting to talk about looking back at some Game of the Year stuff, looking forward at some Game of the Year stuff. And then the week after that, during the post-Christmas stuff, we're going to be on a slightly different schedule. So just be aware of that.
Yes.
We're going to try and take some time and a slightly reduced posting schedule during that time frame there as well. So heads up there. Mm-hmm. But if you missed it this week, we have we're continuing with Binary Domain, continued with Guardians of the Galaxy. Alex and I are going to stream some backlog stuff tomorrow or today as the official day of this posting. And we're going to go back to Heavenly Bodies on Friday.
Is that game cool?
It's pretty cool.
I had a lot of fun with Alex. Alex basically flailing around, trying to figure out the controls.
My brain does not want to tune itself to what the physics of that game are, but I am having a good time regardless.
It was fun. It's a lot of fun. It was very silly. So you can check that out on Friday as well. If you want to, and I strongly encourage it, you can go check out patreon.com/nextlander to go check out any of our tiers there. We couldn't do this without you. We'd be at a dead stop. So if you want to go and check that stuff out, you can go find a tier there and help us along and join the many others who are supporting us there. Also supporting us just by listening and watching our stuff, the good word out there, putting it out there, and the good vibe. So thanks everybody out there. On the Patreon, you will see a tier that is the Mysterious Benefactor tier, and that tier gets a shout-out on this here podcast every week. And while we say a big thank you to all our Patreon supporters, we give the Mysterious Benefactors a big shout-out here. Alex Navarro.
Yes.
Would you like to read the names of our Mysterious Benefactors for this
week? I would love to.
Great.
Here we go. These are our Mysterious Benefactors for this week. Evan Poon, No One, Vinny's Giant Booga Boogas, Nelson LeBlanc, James Smith, Skywarp, John Hubbard, Sean Miller, Jack Einecker, Nick Donegan, Evan Cook, Mark Wilhelm, JM, Jerry Lee, Gary Pesky, Matt, Conrad Kuzman, Robert Fisher, Joseph Regan, John McGinnis, #BunnyCrimes, Onion Pete, Peter Reardon, Thomas Lynn, Jad Rita, Statix, Andrew Jackson, Bacon Monk, Chris Barkhurst, Brad, help me.
Booga.
We'll go with that. Devin Maestro Hall, Brian Murphy, Kevin Velado, Randy Duax, Mark Allenbach, Aaron Gonzalez Beer, Andrew Tiepkin, Itme JP, Edward Chick, Andrew Slosky, Steve Lynn, Richard Welsh, aka Hired Noobs, Matthew Herrig, Rick Button, and Tyler Treese.
Again, thanks to everyone out there who has supported us. We do appreciate it. Keep the engines going. Put fuel in the tank.
Our gratitude to you at this holiday time.
Yes. Yes. Very gratitudinous. Mm-hmm. So thanks, everybody. That's going to do it for this week's show. Go check out all that backlog of stuff if you want. Maybe we'll do another rerun thing during the break there and put some stuff up. We've got catalogs of things now. Resident Evil playthroughs. We got a bunch of stuff. We'll make some more playlists and put those up. Possibly. We'll see. I don't know. No promises here. I can't set it now. Promise it. What did I do?
Set it and forget it?
Somebody's going to remember. Brad Shoemaker, thank you very much. Safe travels to you. The next time we record a podcast, I believe you'll be back at the home base.
That seems to be the case.
Yes. Knock on wood. I'm actually going to.
I did it.
I have knocked on wood. Oh. Alex Navarro.
Thank you.
Safe travels to you.
I'm not going anywhere, but thank you.
Hey, man. You're always going somewhere in your mind. And if you're out there traveling around this holiday season, safe travels to everyone out there. I know it's about that time. Getting started. People booking planes and doing all sorts of wacky things. But if you're staying home, safe travels to you as well. That's going to do it for this week's show. We'll be back next week.